Okay, thank you everybody for joining me for this Yahrzeit Shir in memory of my daughter Abigail Kira, who was Niftara 12 years ago. The Shir is, why is Shabbos called the sign? Gave it in Hebrew this past Shabbos, Lama Shabbat Nikra Oats, but I won't do it in Hebrew today, do it in English. And I'll also mention at the end of the Shir how the ideas kind of connect to what I've been experiencing and thinking about and the Yahrzeit of my daughter. If anybody has any questions throughout this year, just unmute yourself and just ask, no problem. So this year is based on this past week's Parsha, Ki Tisa. And if you look in source number one, the first instance where Shabbos is called an Os, it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe lemor, v'ata daber el b'nei Yisrael lemor, aches Shabbos osai tishmeru, ki Os hi b'ni u'b'neichem edoroseichem l'das, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. So the pshat of the pasuk is that Klal Yisrael should keep the Shabbos because the pshat of an os is that it's a sign that Hashem is with us, l'dor seichem, to know that Hashem made us kadosh. So the question of this shir is, how do we define an os? Is it a sign, or is there something more to the idea, to the concept of an os? And what does Rashi say over there? Ki os hi b'ni u'b'neichem. Os gedolahi beinenu shebacharti b'chem b'hanchili lachem es yom menuchasi l'menucha. So he adds in that it's not just an os, but it's an os gedola. It's a great os. It's a great sign between me and Bnei Yisrael, between me and you, Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, that he chose Bnei Yisrael to inherit this yom menucha, this yom of rest for menucha. So again, another question that I have on this is, what does it mean an os gedola? What's a great sign? And then we see it once again in the Torah, a couple of psukim later, in number three, in Kisisa, Vishamru v'nei Yisrael s'shabas, lasos es ha-shabas d'rosam b'ris olam. This one's more familiar. B'nei Yisrael os hili olam, kisheshes yamim asa Hashem, es ha-shamayim es ha-aretz, uvayom ha-shvi'i shabas v'yin ha-fash. So we see os again. There are two instances in this past week's parsha of os. One is in reference to the concept that Klal Yisrael is kadosh, that they're unique. The other is in reference to the concept that Hashem created the world. But are they identical in terms of the concept of Os, or are they different ideas of Os? So that's really the question. Are they the same idea, or are they different ideas? And further, there are many mitzvos out there that are simon or zikaron that we don't refer to as an Os, like Sukkah, for example. It's a remembrance of how the Jews lived in the Midbar, but we don't call that an Os. There are other mitzvos like matzah. Matzah is not called an Os. Korban Pesach is not called an os. So what defines, or why is Shabbos an os, and other mitzvos are not defined as an os, as a sign? Let's look at Rashi on the on source number three, or it's really source number four. Vayinafach kitargumo, it's like the tirgum. V'chol lashon nofesh hu lashon nefesh. So the term nofesh, which means to rest, comes from nefesh, from the soul. Shemeshiv nafsho v'nishmaso v'hargao miturach nila'acha. Because a person's soul is rested when they are from the burden of malacha. Umi shekasubo lo yiyaf lo yageya. This is an important point. By Hashem, it says that he's not tired. He never has any sense of tiredness because he's not physical. So what does it mean, vayinafash, that Hashem rested? The chol po'alo b'mamar, and also he created the world through amira, not through actual physical toil. Haksiv menucha ba'atmos, Rashi says, but it says menucha with regard to Hashem. How is that possible? It's for man. It's for us to understand, but really, it doesn't really describe what Hashem or what was experienced in Ma'aseh Bereishis. So that's an important parish that we'll get to later on in this year in explaining the difference between the two osos. But again, just to clarify, the questions so far are, what's the definition of an os? Is it merely a sign or a remembrance, or is there something more to the concept of an os? Why are certain mitzvos called os, whereas other mitzvos are not? Shabbos is called an os, as we'll see, tefillin is called an os, but other mitzvos are not an os, and they're just as much a reminder or a memory of something that occurred in the past. And finally, what does Rashi mean when he says os gedola? Why is it a great os? So those are all the questions for this year, and there's really two main ideas of this year, but I'm going to show you how the ideas were developed and hopefully explain those concepts in greater detail. There's also an interesting nafkamina to the concept that Shabbos is an os, As I mentioned before, tefillin is also referred to as an os. And in the Bavli and Menachos, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, source number 5, the Gemara says, Nafkale Meheicha de Nafkale le Rabbi Akiva. The Sanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yachol Yaniach Adam Tefillin Beshabsos of Yamim Tovim, Talmud Lomar, Vehayal Os Ayadechol Tzofos Beninecha, Misha Tzrichen Os, Yatu Shabsos Yamim Tovim, Shehen Gufan Os. So another interesting facet is not only is Tefillin also called an Os, but we see that you don't do Tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov because you already have the Os of Shabbos. But the question is, how are they comparable to one another? First of all, what is an Os? Is it just when the Torah calls it an Os, therefore you don't have to do it on Shabbos? And furthermore, just because it's called an Os, what's the comparison to the Os of Shabbos? What's the concept there that would explain why you don't do Tefillin on Shabbos simply because it's called an Os? So that's the second, or not the second, but many questions after. So we have a bunch of questions on the table here, and those are the questions that we're going to start with. So let's go back in time a little bit. Let's do Rashi. Sorry, I skipped Rashi. Number 6. Nafkale klomer l'olam k'savar l'ilazman tefillin hu b'shabbos mimalei meheicha de nafkale l'Rabbi Akiva. So it's a separate shakal v'tarya in the Gemara that I'm not going to get into, but the Gemara says, where does he learn out that on Shabbos and Yom Tov you don't do tefillin? Shein atzman os bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael dechsiv ki osi. So just like tefillin is an os, so too Shabbos is an os. But again, what's the comparison? Just because they're called an os in the Torah shouldn't necessarily explain why you don't do tefillin on Shabbos. So let's go back in time. Where is one of the earliest instances where the Torah uses the term os? And I'll try to show you that the way the Torah uses the term os in other areas might give us some insight as to what the concept of os is by Shabbos and by tefillin and by other mitzvos as well. So where's the first, it's not the first concept of os. We'll see later on where the first word os is used in the Torah. But really one of the earlier versions of os is from Kayin. So what's the story with Kayin? Look at number 7, Bereishis Daled. Vayomer Kayin el Hashem gadol avoni minaso. So Kayin says to Hashem that my punishment is too great for me to carry. It's too much of a burden. Hein girashta osi hayom mi'al pnei adama mi'panecha esaser v'hayisi na v'anad v'aretz v'ayach chol motzi yargeni. He says to Hashem that you've banished me all over the world and I'm hidden from you and from your face. And therefore, I'm going to be traveling all over, and anybody who finds me is going to kill me. Anybody who kills Kayin, I will take vengeance on them in 7 generations. So the Torah uses the term os, and it says that Hashem placed an os on Kayin in order to protect him from those who would encounter Kayin. So the first concept of os is the os of Kayin, the concept of giving Kayin something to protect him from the animals. Look at the Ibn Ezra. There's different mefarshim on whether Kayin was actually admitting to his sin and doing tshuva or not. We're going to go with the mefarshim that say he did do tshuva, and I'll explain why and how it fits in. But the Ibn Ezra says, "Uperish gadol avoni minaso al das kol mefarshim shehoda cheto." So Kayin admitted to his sin in this moment. He did tshuva or vidoy. And then because of that, Hashem rewards him by basically not killing him on the spot and protecting him. And the Medrash says something interesting. It says, Vayomer lo Hashem, kol ma she'atam v'akesh bimeni, ani em cholecha, shelo yargucha kol mitza'ucha v'eselecha takana. So that which you're requesting from me, I'm going to be mochel on what you did, and I'm not going to kill you right now, and I'm going to do this to help you. I'm going to wait to punish you after 7 generations. Have you omer shiva sim, you come. And that's the explanation of for 7 generations, you come. So what was the purpose of the os? To tell everybody else not to kill Kayin and to recognize that Kayin was protected. And God was mochel. Umahaya os. What was the os? Yesh omrim karen Allah b'mitzvah. One side or one opinion is that there was a horn that came out of Kayin's forehead. The yesh omrim zechus Shabbos amdalo. This one's strange, but it shows you that there's a connection between Kayin's os and Shabbos and the os of Shabbos. It says zechus Shabbos amdalo shneamar ba os he. And that's what I mentioned before. And it quotes the pasuk from Yud Gimel in source number 1. The Yish Omrim Os Achas Mishmok Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Fakak Lo B'Mitzvah. And another explanation is that Hashem engraved one of the letters of his name in the forehead of Cain in order to let everybody know not to kill Cain. So what is the idea? What's the concept of Os? So I'm going to throw out a concept and a definition and show you how it plays out in other areas. I think an Os isn't just to tell somebody something else. It's not just something as a reminder. It doesn't just function as a reminder, but it was something that was affixed to Cain. It was part of who he was. It's more than just a reminder. It's something that changed him, that made him somebody who was no longer afraid of the animals, but now somebody that felt protected. And Hashem put that os on him, I believe, to demonstrate that the os was who he was. It's not something external to you. It is who you are, almost like a tattoo, but obviously it's not the same idea as a or concept as a tattoo, as like artistry. But the concept of an os isn't just a reminder or a remembrance or to tell others something, but it's also an idea in the goof of Cain, that Cain should see himself as a different type of person, should not be afraid, should be able to travel without being fearful of being attacked by the animals. So that's the first, and he did tshuva. So part of that idea, that concept of why he became a new person and God's putting, Hashem putting the os on Cain, is reflective of the concept that Cain was now a new individual, Hashem had been mochel on him, and now he shouldn't be mafkin, he shouldn't be afraid of the animals, of people who are going to approach him and try to kill him. Where do we see this idea in other areas? So I think this idea also expresses itself by tefillin. Vayalecha, let's go to number 10. Vayalecha le'osa yedecha u'zikaron bein einecha l'man tiyat toras Hashem b'ficha ki b'yadcha zaka u'tziyacha Hashem b'mitzrayim. So tefillin should be an os on your arm, and also a remembrance between your eyes, in order that Torah be in your mouth all the time. Because Hashem took us with a great hand from Mitzrayim. So what is the concept of os by tefillin? Le'os al yadecha lefi omek pshuto, based on the depth of the pshat, yelecha lezikaron tamid. It should always be a zikaron for you. Ki'ilu kasuv al yadecha, as if it's on your actual arm, as if it's written on your arm, like the os of Cain that was written on his forehead, that was engraved in his forehead, so too the os of tefillin is a similar concept. It's an os because it's as if it's on your skin. It's as if it's actually engraved in your skin. It's who you are. Ke'ein simeni kachusem al libecha, from Shir HaShirim. Bein einecha ke'ein takshed ravid zav shiragilin litein al hametzach lenoi. So the tefillin shel rosh is more of a pe'er. It's more of a piece of jewelry. But the tefillin shel yad, the idea of the os of al yadecha, is the concept of it being as if it's engraved on your arm. It's not just something external to you, but it's something that's part of who you are. It's part of your guf. It's part of who you are as a gavro. And we see this idea, this philosophy in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kedushas Tefillin, famous Rambam. Probably most of you know this. Rambam number 12, Tefillin, a mezuzah v'sefer Torah, Dalet Chafei. Kedushas Tefillin, Kedusha Gedolahi. It's a great Kedusha. The kol zman should tefillin al rosho shel adam v'al zro'o hu anav yare. V'eino nimshach b'schok u'b'sicha b'tela. V'eino maharher b'machshavos ra'os. Elam v'fana libo l'divrei emes v'ad tzedek. So what's the philosophy of tefillin? When you're wearing tefillin, you're a different person. You're not the same person you were without tefillin. Now, with the tefillin on, you become, or you have an opportunity to become an anav, humble, and a yare. You're a yare of Hashem. And you're not, you don't chase after skok and sicha b'tela and ve'enu mahar v'machshavos ra'os el mefana libo divrei emes v'at tzedek. Rather, you're pushed towards the truth. Lefichach, tzarech adam lishtada liyosan alav kol hayom, shemitzvasan kachi, amro lov al rav, talmid rabbeinu akadosh, shekol yamav lo ra'u shahalach arba amos, below Torah, o below tzitzis, o below tefillin. So what's the concept of the os of tefillin? It's similar to the os of Cain. That even though tefillin are boxes that we put on our arms and our heads, but it's supposed to be part of who we are. It's as if it's engraved on our arms. It's supposed to be something that defines us as being different types of individuals, as individuals who are an anav and a yare. Similar to the os of Cain, which changed him. It wasn't just a remembrance for him, but it changed him into a person who shouldn't be afraid to walk around and get attacked by animals or by human beings. And there's one other mitzvah where we see the concept of os, which I think fits into this broader concept, and that would be by bris milah. So if you look in source number 13, it says unmaltem es besar olaschem v'hayal os bris beinu v'neichem. So really, there's only three mitzvos that I'm aware of that are called an os. One is Shabbos, the other one's Tefillin, and the last one is Mila. Mila is also called an os, Bris Mila. Why is it an os? Well, that's what we're going to define. But what's interesting is the Torah Tzvima brings down the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph. Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, B'mila Ksiv Os Bris Vidoros, U'B'Shabbos Ksiv Os Bris Vidoros, Mikan L'mila Shidocha Es HaShabbos. So now we see in the area of Os, as opposed to by Tefillin, where you don't do Tefillin on Shabbos because you have the Os of Shabbos, by Mila, it's the opposite. Mila is also an Os, and it trumps Shabbos because it's an Os. And although this isn't the essential psak as to why we do Mila, it's not the essential limud, but the question is, what does he mean? What does the Gemara mean? And what's the idea and the concept of Os by Mila? I think it's a similar concept as I was discussing by Tefillin and also by the Os of Kayin. So Rav Yosef Bechor Shor, look at number 15. Vayal Os Bris Veniu Venechem. Simon Ve'os Shani Adon Ve'atem Abdi. It's a simon and a sign, an os, shani adon, that I am their master, v'atem abdi. So when you have a mila, you become an eved Hashem. It's a simon, it's a sign that you're an eved Hashem. It's like you're a new person, you're a different type of gavra. The chosim osa bris v'makom sanua she'eno nira. So it's in a private place, shelo yomru umos ha'olam al Yisrael balei mumenheim, so that the umos don't say that the Jews have a mum. So the question is, how come Jewish males have this and not females? It's a proof that the Mila occurs in the Makom Hazichros, which is interesting. I didn't understand that, but it's an interesting idea. They're saying that the males have the os of the Mila and the women have the os of Dam Nida. But these are osos that teach us that we're an Eved Lashem, that we're a new type of person. It's not just a mitzvah. It's not just a reminder, but it actually changes us. It changes us internally, or it should have that effect on us internally to think of ourselves as an Eved Hashem. And the same thing with the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. It gives two reasons why what the philosophy is behind Mila. One reason is because of the drive, the taiva, and the other, it quells the taiva. But the other reason, which he says is even better, it's a stronger reason, is in source number 16. He says, V'yesh b'mila od inyan echad, sarech me'od, v'hu shiyah l'anshe zos ha'emuna kulam, ritzoni lomar, ma'amine yichud Hashem, os echad gishmi, sheik b'tzeim l'yuchal, mi she'eno mehem lomar, shehem mehem v'hu nachri. So it's a way for everybody who believes in Yichud Hashem to get together, and so that Nachrim, so that non-Jews can't fake their way into our group. So people want to do that. Sometimes they want to trick us and they want to be part of the Jewish people. Sometimes. Sometimes. But a person's not going to do Mila unless they truly believe. Now, it is a Shaila. What about nowadays? Bizman Azeb, people do it for health reasons. I don't know how to answer that, but the Rambam is basically saying that if you're willing to do Mila, it means that you're really committed to the concept of Yichud Hashem. Ki ein zeh seret b'shuk o kaviyah b'zroa. It's not just a line or a cut in your b'shuk in the thigh. Or it's not just a burn on your arm. It's very difficult to do Mila to your child. When you have the same sign as somebody else, it joins you, it connects you psychologically to others, and you feel love for them. So this bris is based on the concept of believing in Hashem's oneness. V'chein kol mi sheyimol yichnos b'bris Avraham l'ha'amin ha'yichud. So anybody who does Mila is under Bris Avraham in order to believe in Yichud Hashem. L'yosecha l'elokim l'zarecha acharecha. V'ze gam kein inen chazak harishon b'tam ha'mila v'efshar shehu yoser chazak, yoter chazak min harishon. So not only is this a good reason, he says, but it might be even better than the first reason of stopping a person's taiva. So what's the concept of an os by Mila? An os by Mila is very similar to an os by Tefillin, the os by Kayin. It's the concept that now you're a ma'amen b'yichud Hashem. You're a different person. It's not just the idea that you should remember, but it's part of who you are. It's on your body. it's like tefillin are not just, they're not separate from you, but they're an extension of your body. It's as if it's on your body. By Chaim, the os was engraved in his forehead. It's part of who he is. So an os is more than just a reminder and a memory or some type of concept, but it defines who you are. It helps define who you are. It defines you as a different type of person. And where else do we see this? One other place in the Torah where it uses the term osos in a similar fashion, not identical, but it uses it in a similar fashion by the degolim. So when the Shvatim were traveling, they had their own flags and each flag had its symbol. Ish, look at 17. Ish al deglo ve'osos l'veis avosam yachanu b'nei yishom yineged saviv l'ol moed yachanu. So the term os is used there as a reference to the symbols, the signs that were on the flags. So they weren't just random signs. Ve'osos perish simanim hayu b'chol degel v'degel. This is the Ibn Ezra in 18. Ve'kadmoninu amru shahaya b'degel ruvein suras adam midrash tudaim. So each one had their own surah, like Ruvain had suras adam, b'degel Yehuda suras aryeh. Kibohim Shilu Yaakov Avinu, the Degel Ephraim Tzuras Shor, Mitam Bechor Sharo Hadarlo, the Degel Dan Tzuras Nesher. I always thought Dan was the snake, but according to the Ibn Ezra, it was the eagle. Ach Yidmu Lekruvim Shiro Yechezkel Anavi. But what's the concept? What's the idea behind the symbols that were on the flags? So the concept is that they were reflective of the personality type of the Shevet, right? Yehuda was the Aryeh because they were the kings, they were the Malachim. The idea of Bechor Sharo was the concept by Yosef. So having the osos on the flags and the concept of os, once again, is not just a memory, it's not just a reminder, but it indicates who they were. It's an indication of their personality type, of what they should strive to be like. And that also is another example of how os is used in a similar vein as os before, by tefillin, by kayin, also by mila, and also by the osos of the degalim. So what about Shabbos? Now I just want to take it back to Shabbos. What's the concept of os by Shabbos? Why is it, what's the idea of if we go back up here on the screen, if you look at number one, it says, V'ata daber al b'nei Yisrael emor aches Shabbos osai tishmero ki osi b'niu b'neichem ador seichem ladas ki ani Hashem ekadishchem. What is that os? This is the first os of Shabbos. So I don't think it's an identical os to the second, and I'll explain why. But what is the first os? So I think it falls in line with what I've been saying throughout the shir, but I think there's a proof here from the Gemara Beitza. So the Gemara Beitza, it says, Zayin Amad Aleph says, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Kol mitzvah shenasan lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, nasan lahem b'farhesya, chutz mishabes, shenasan lahem b'tzina, shenamar b'ni v'vein b'nei Yisrael, osi li'olam. So all the mitzvahs were given to the Jewish people publicly, except for Shabbos, which was given privately, because it says, Beiniu Bein Bnei Yisrael, the implication is it's only between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Ihachi lola ancho goyim Allah. So if that's the case, then the goyim in Asid Lavo, in the future, they shouldn't be punished for not accepting Shabbos, for they rejected Shabbos. They didn't want to keep Shabbos based on a medrash. So Allah, goyim Allah, Shabbos odoi odinhu, matan schara lo odinhu. So one answer is that Hashem told them about Shabbos, but he didn't tell them about the schar of Shabbos. What's the second answer? V'ibayis ema matan schar nami odinhu, neshama yaseira lo odinhu. But the second answer is that he told the goyim about the matan schar of Shabbos and Shabbos itself, but he didn't tell them about the extra neshama that a person has on Shabbos. Da amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, neshama yaseira nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'adam, erev Shabbos, l'moti Shabbos, not l'nosai menu shenemar. Shavas vayina fash, kevan shavas vay of the nefesh. So we get an extra neshama on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, and it gets taken away from us on Motzi Shabbos. And that's why, at least according to some, that's why we have besamim, because we're sad, we're depressed after Shabbos. But what is this? There's an extra neshama. What does an extra neshama actually mean? So if you look in Rashi, there's a little bit of a machlokas here, but what is the extra neshama? Rashi says, over there, lo nenshu nachri alav, anan ashachan shechazar kadosh baruch hu anishan ala Torah, so it says later on in Hazinu that Hashem ultimately in the end of the day, at the end of days, in times of Mashiach, he's gonna take vengeance on the non-Jews. Neshama Yisera, Ruchav Lev, Leminucha, Lisimchav, Lios Pasuach, Lervacha, Vyocha, Vyishta, Vein Nafsho Katzala. So a guy on Shabbos, a person, not just a guy, also a woman, but everybody on Shabbos have a wider heart for Menucha and Simcha, and they're open for they're open. They're more open and they're more they're open minded and they eat and drink and they don't get disgusted by the food. So on Shabbos, it seems to be that there's an extra facet towards our personality or to our personality that we're capable of enjoying Shabbos on a different level than we would be able to, or as if we were going on vacation. We wouldn't be able to enjoy a vacation. Shabbos is different. We feel different on Shabbos. There's some extra capacity to enjoy and really experience Shabbos appropriately. According to the Shita Mekubetzes, it's more of a knowledge idea of Svaro Neshama Yisero. Perish Valzech Halav Shefa Eloki V'Seichel Yoser La'asok B'Torah U'La'ayin B'Ma'ase Hashem. According to the Shita Mekubetzes, it's an idea that we have a broader mindset and we're able to really study Ma'asa Hashem and really understand it on a deeper level on Shabbos. But what do we see about from this Gemara? What's the idea of the os? That's similar to the os of Mila, that it differentiates us. Now we're a new person, a new Gavra. Similar to the os of Kain, he was a new Gavra. Similar to the os of Tefillin, you're a new Gavra when you have Tefillin on. Shabbos also functions in the same way. When you experience Shabbos, when you're Shomer Shabbos, if you're Jewish, then you get a Neshama Yisera. You become a different individual. You get certain facets that change you. It gives you a new element to enjoy Shabbos, new knowledge, new areas of knowledge that are open to you on Shabbos. And the Neshama Yisera is an added facet of who you are. And that's what makes it an os. And in fact, the Gemara quotes os. It quotes the Pasuk. It says, you would have thought that it's private. And it says, Benu vei b'nei Yisrael os hi li'olam. What do you tell Klal Yisrael about? And the Neshama Yisera, that's the Ibai Seima. So what do you see from there? You see the concept of os, or at least one concept of os is consistent throughout the Torah. And the concept of os is when you have a mitzvah that makes you into a different gavra, it makes you into a different person. It gives you a new personality, so to say, or so to speak. Like by tefillin, you're a new personality. By kain, he was a new personality. By the os of mila, you're a new personality. By the idea of the shvatim, it reflects your personality, who you are. So too on Shabbos, Shabbos isn't just an abstract mitzvah, but when you experience Shabbos, you're like a new gavra, you're like a new person. And that's what the concept, that's one concept of os. And I think that's the first concept of os in the Torah, where it says in source number one, Daber b'nei Yisrael l'mor, aches Shabbos usai tishmaru, hi os hi b'niu b'neichem, ador seichem adas ki aniyat shem akadishchem. That is the very concept of the Pasuk, that it's an os, that you should know that you're different. Meaning you're a different person on Shabbos. You have a Neshama Yisera. You have new facets that are open to you, new experience that another nation can experience. And that's part of the Os of Shabbos. So one of the takeaways from the Shir is that an Os isn't just a sign. It's not just a reminder, but it's more than that. It's something that defines who you are. And it creates or it defines you as being a different type of person. It's like Tefillin defines you as a different person. Mila defines you as a different person, as a mom in Bashem. So too Shabbos defines you when you experience it, defines you as a different person because of the concept of Neshama Yisera. So I think that's the first idea. All right. Any questions at all up to this point? Any questions on the first idea? We're all good?
Can I ask you a question? So why are you saying like the Neshama Yisera defines you as much as like it's a new faculty that you have, or in what way is it defining you?
I'm saying it's like you're a new person. Neshama Yisera, you have an extra, Neshama is who you are. Now you have an extra Neshama. So it's like you're a new person. You have an extra, it's as if you're a different person on Shabbos than you were during the week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So what's the other concept of Os? Where do we see Os in the Torah used in a different way? So it's actually used in a bunch of places in a different way, which I think is pretty interesting that the Lashon of Os is used in two different ways. On the one hand, os is used as a concept of what I was just saying, which is it's like part of who you are. It's not just something external to you, and it helps define you as a new type of person. But there's also another area of os. We see it as early. This is the first instance of the Torah using the term os, and that's by Bereishis, Ma'aseh Bereishis. Look at 22. Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Me'oros Birkiyah Hashamayim Labdil Bein Hayom Uvein Halayla V'Hayu Le'osos Ulamoadim Uliyamim Meshanim. So the concept of Os is expressed in Ma'aseh Bereishis, when Hashem created the sun and the moon and time over there. And he says, Vayula Osos Lomuadim. So what is Osos there? What does that mean? What's it referring to? So Rashi says, interestingly, he says, Vayula Osos Kishim Oros Lokim. So when there's eclipses, Simon Rahu Le'olam. It's a bad sign. Hushanamar, Osos Shamayim Al Tachtu. Don't be afraid. And the concept for the Jews is that if you follow Hashem's will, then they're not going to affect you. But there was this perception, and that's why the Torah is using osos. There's a perception that these eclipses were supernatural. They weren't normal, although we know nowadays they are. They fit within the normal science. But there was a perception, especially amongst non-Jews, that these eclipses were these supernatural events. And people believed that they had an effect. They had an effect on hashgacha, on punishment, for example. And the Medrash is saying over here in Rashi that don't worry about it. If you keep the Torah, then nothing will happen to you badly as a result of this. But what do we see about an os over there? An os is something that's viewed as miraculous somewhat, like the eclipse. And it's also something that causes people to believe that something will happen to them in the future, something bad, something good. That's just a basic framework, but we'll see it in other places. Let's look at the next area of os by the famous case of Keshes. What's the os of Keshes? Look at number 24. Es kashti nasati bi'anan v'haysala os bris v'enu v'en'aretz. So once again, the Torah uses the term os, but we can't say that this os is like the os of Kain. It's not a part of who you are. It's not something that's engraved on you. It's not like tefillin. It's not like mila. So what is it? And we also see it later on. Vayomer Elokim al Noach zos os habris asher hakimosi beini uvein kol basar asher la'aretz. So once again, we see the term os. So the question is, what is an os, right? In this framer, the Torah uses it in two different ways. So if you look in the Gemara Masechem says the Or b'Motzi Shabbos Ivri was really Or created on Motzi Shabbos. V'hatanya asar dvarim nivru be'erev Shabbos ben hashmashos Elohein. Be'er v'haman v'keshes k'sav v'michtav aluchos u'kfaro shal Moshe u'ma'ara sh'amad bo Moshe ve'eliyahu psichas pia asun psichas pia aretz l'vlo es harishan. So there are many 10 things that were created b'en hashmashos before Shabbos started. And one of them is the keshes. Now there are a lot of the drashim that have this framework of 10 things that were created b'en hashmashos. Pretty much in most of them, I would say the keshes exists there. But what do we see about the keshes? Even though scientifically, we know it's related to light and refraction, but nevertheless, it's considered something that wasn't necessary to creation. It was something a little aberrant to creation. It was created after B'en HaShemashos Lifnei Shabbos. So that demonstrates that it's supernatural somewhat. It has some supernatural element to it. And what was the purpose of the os? So that people in future generations would believe that there wouldn't be a flood in the future. So there are two aspects to this the other concept of os, excuse me. One is that it's somewhat supernatural, or at least it's viewed in that way. And the other is that it's meant for us to believe that something will or won't happen in the future. Where do we see that as well? This concept of an os being something supernatural and also something that creates emuna, that creates its mamon. So we also see it by Moshe Rabbeinu. Look in 26. Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vehein Lo Yaminu Li. I'm going to read through all the psukim. Lo Yishmu Bekuli, Kiyom Rulo Nirai Lecha Hashem. So Moshe was nervous when he first got the job of leading the Jews. He said, they're not going to believe me. Vayomer Elav Hashem, Mazeb Yadecha, Vayomer Mateh. So he said, what's in your hand? And he said, there's a staff there. Vayomer Hashlicheo Artsa, Vayishlicheo Artsa, Vayhila Nachash, Vayanos Moshe Mipanav. So Moshe was scared. It turned into a Nachash. I think we all know the story. So he said to Moshe, grab the snake, and it turned back into a stick. So that the Jews will believe that you've been sent and that you've been revealed to, Hashem has revealed himself to you. What's the second os? He puts his hand in, takes it out, and it turns. Tzaras. Vayomer hashev yadacha el chaykecha vayashev yadol chayko vayotziya mechayko v'hine shava kiv sarel. So that's the second os. Vaya, so this is the key pasuk, look in Ches. Vaya imlo, I won't lay in it for you. Vaya imlo yaminu lach, is that lach? V'lo yishmu lekola os arishon, v'haminu lekola os acharon. So what does it call those things? Osos. And it says, if they don't believe the first os, then they'll believe the last os. V'hayayim lo yaminu, or the second one. V'hayayim lo yaminu gam lishnei ha'osos ha'ele, v'lo yishmun l'kolecha, v'lakavtami mimei ha'yor v'shavachta yabasha, v'ayu amayim asher tikach min ha'yor, v'ayu l'adam v'yabashas. So we see from here, from this story, that once again, what is an os? An os is something that appears supernatural, a miracle, miraculous, something that doesn't fit into our concept of natural world. And it's also meant to create emunah. What type of emunah? That Hashem chose Moshe or revealed himself to Moshe, and that Moshe is leading the Jews out. So the other idea of os, and we see it throughout the Torah, is the concept that an os is something that's supernatural, and it's something that's meant to create emunah. Where else do we see this? Look in 27, Bamidbar Yudal Yudalef. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, ad ana yinatsuni amazev, ve'ad ana lo yaminu bi, v'chol ha'osos asher asisi bikerbo. So Hashem says to Moshe, how long are they going to fight with me? And how long are they not going to believe me through all the osos, all the miracles that I've done amongst them, within their midst? So we see the term os there is used as a miracle, osos, right? So we see that osos, once again, is something supernatural. And not only is it supernatural, but it's a means of belief, of creating belief, belief in Hashem, belief in a Navi, although it might not be the ultimate, according to the Rambam, it's not the highest level of belief, but nevertheless, it still creates belief, some sort of belief. And we also see this, one more example of this, we see this by the Navi. Look in 28, it says, Ki yakum bekir b'cha Navi, ocholim chalom, benasani lecha os omofes. So what is the idea? The Navi is proving that he's the Navi through an os or a mofes. So once again, an os is something supernatural, and it's something that's supposed to create an emuna in this Navi, that this Navi is really from Hashem. Okay, so we see this unified idea of os, and we see two different ideas of osos in the Torah. So what is an os? What exactly? Can we define it a little bit better, this second idea of os? So Rashi says over there, V'nasani lecha os omofes, bashamayim. So an os is in the sky. So an os is something that occurs in Shemayim, but a mofes is something that occurs on the land. But the Gur Aryeh says that an os is greater. So if Shabbos somehow fits into this concept, it makes sense that it would be the greater or greater of the two. Look at the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal number 30. Os b'shamayim inyan ze yadua l'chachamim, lama os b'shamayim mofes ba'aretz. Why? So an os is greater than a mofes. So it's something that's everlasting, something that's more concrete, like shamayim. That doesn't receive any type of change or loss. Nikra os. When there's some type of aberration from nature, it's called an os. Udvarim asher mishdanim kimo aretz yikra mofes ve'eno kokach nes. But that which occurs on the ground is not as much of a miracle as that which occurs in the sky in Shemayim. Okay. So again, we see os. The concept of os is used a little differently in the Torah. It's used in the framework of miracles. It's greater than a mofes, and it's used as a mamin to create a muna. And I proved it from all these sources. You see it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu used osos based on what Hashem told them in order to create a muna amongst Klal Yisrael that he was actually sent. And all those osos were miracles. Hashem says, why don't they believe me? I did all these osos for them. When the Navi comes and he wants to prove that he's a Navi, what does he have to do? An os. He has to do an oso mofes. And an os is the greatest type of miracle. It's the highest level of miracle. So how does this relate to Shabbos? What's the concept of O Shabbos that it should exist within, or does it exist, or does it fit into this framework? Any questions at all up to this point? Anything? All right.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay,
yeah, excellent. Yeah.
Ariel, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, would you go just summarize, exactly what you said? I feel like there's too much information for me to process. Like, I was just wondering if you could just... Sorry.
Yeah, sure. So basically, there's two concepts of os in the Torah. The first concept of os in the Torah is expressed in the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of milah by Kayin. It's the idea of something being on you, like a tattoo almost, like an engraving. And it reflects the fact that you're a different person. You're a new person. And so too, okay. On Shabbos, when you experience Shabbos, because of the Neshama Yisera, it's like you're a new person on Shabbos. It's not just something, it's not just any other mitzvah like Korban Pesach. It's not something that you do. It's something that creates this new Gavra, this new person. But the other area of the Torah where the Torah uses the term Os is in the framework of miracles. It calls them Osos Umosim all the time, right? So what is an Os over there? We even see it by the Keshes. We see the Os by the Keshes also. We also see an Os by, what are the other examples? By Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see that two aspects, and also in the in Bereishis. So what is the other concept of Os? It seems like an Os is something viewed as miraculous, like the Keshes. The Torah views the Keshes as being miraculous. It was created Bein HaShemashos before Shabbos. It wasn't part of Maisa Bereishis. It was something outside somewhat. And it's also meant not just to remind you, but also to be mamin in a certain concept. So by the Keshes, it was meant for you to be mamin that Hashem will not bring a future flood. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says openly that it was meant that the Jews would be mamin that Hashem revealed himself to Moshe. He says openly in 27, Hashem says, why won't they believe me? Because I did all these osos. I did all these miracles. So there are two concepts to the other idea of os, which is that an os is a miracle and it's something that's meant to convey belief or to create belief amongst the person who's experiencing or witnessing that os. Okay? Is that good?
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, can I ask, do you have any, have you thought about if there's any unification of these two different meanings of os, or are they just two different words that happen to mean the same thing, or?
Good question. I don't have an idea for that. If you do, that would be awesome. I don't have one. I was trying to think of it. I was working on it, but I don't have anything.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so
back. Hey, Ginsburg.
What did you say?
Rabbi Ginsburg?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Hello. One more question, please.
Of course.
I didn't catch the comparison to Dom Bris to Dom Nida. I didn't get that comparison.
So basically what they're saying is that just like Dom Bris makes you or is a reflection, it's not Dom Bris, it's actually the Mila itself, but just like the Mila itself is a demonstration that you're a new Gavra, you're an Eved Hashem now. So too by women, they don't have Bris. So what's their idea or what defines them or what helps them realize and recognize within themselves that they're an Eved Hashem? That's Dom Mila. That's their mitzvah that differentiates them from the non-Jews. Because they don't have Dom Mila, the non-Jews don't have Dom Mila.
So it's, in other words, it's just a specific mitzvah that's dedicated to women, not a specific action.
Yeah, it's a specific mitzvah, exactly. Not a specific action. It's a specific mitzvah that's for women that's reflective of the same type. It's analogous to the idea of Mila because it's in the same area, obviously. So it's analogous to Mila. And it's the same concept that it's your unique mitzvah that kind of it's part of your body. It's not something external. So it's something that defines you as a new Gavra, as an Eved Hashem, that you recognize that Hashem's the Adon and you're the Eved. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So what's the idea of Shabbos? What's its last idea of Shabbos? So I think Shabbos fits into the same concept of Os. Look in 31. This is the second Pasuk. The Sham Ruv Nei Yisrael says Shabbos, Lasos, Es Shabbos, Dor Asam Bris Olam. So what is this os? So the first os, I believe, is similar to the os of Tfilin and Mila and similar to the os of Kayin. But there's also this other idea of os in the Torah. And I think that the other idea of os is also expressed in Shabbos. The concept of the mitzvah, or the idea of the keshes, for example, being somewhat out of nature and also creating emunah. And I think Shabbos also reflects that. And through experiencing Shabbos and keeping Shabbos, because it says Vishamru Vnei Yisrael Shabbos, when you keep Shabbos and you experience, much like you experience a miracle, so the experience of Shabbos itself is also somewhat miraculous. You also can see the miraculous nature of Shabbos, like the Keshes. And not only that, but it also shouldn't just be a mitzvah, but it should create emunah in the idea that God is the Borei. It should actually give you a positive idea that God is the Borei Olam. How does it do that? So Shabbos is unique. It doesn't really fit into our concept of creation at all. We can kind of, obviously, Maisa Bereishis is different than what we conceive of as creation, because God created B'ma'amaro, like Rashi says, we create with physical. But Shabbos is totally antithetical to that idea. It's the creation of a yom from the absence of work. And that's really anti our idea of how the natural world works. We usually think of creation as being a byproduct of a positive, of toiling, of working. And Shabbos is the opposite. And almost for the human mind, it's almost, it's unnatural. It's somewhat unnatural in our minds, although we know it's built into Bereishis, but it's a little unnatural. Look at the Pesukim. It says, Vayichal Elokim bayom hashvii melachto asher asa. Vayishbos bayom hashvii mikol melachto asher asa. So it says, it's a weird contradiction. It says that Hashem finished his malach on Shvi, but then it also says that he rested on Shvi. So the Mefarshim say, how's that possible? Is he doing malacha or is he not doing malacha? Sounds like he was doing it on Shvi and then he stopped, but it's kind of a little contradiction. Was he or was he not? So Rashi says, Vayichal Elokim bayom hashvii, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Basar v'dam, she'enu yodea ita v'regab tzarech lahosif melacha kodesh. So people, we don't know the exact time. We don't have that concept. We can't have an exact moment of time where there's a switchover from Shabbos from Chol. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu shiodea itosa v'regav nichnas bo kechuda sa'ara v'nira ki'ilu kala bo b'yom. So, but Hashem knows the exact turnover of Chol to Shabbos, and He knows exactly when that occurs, and He can stop at the exact moment. So that's also something that reflects. It's not natural in the human mind. Our way of telling time is somewhat not as exact as Hashem's, of course. But also look at the next Rashi. Davar Acher Mahaya Olam Chaser Menufa Basa Shabbos Ba Menufa Basa Menufa Kalsa V'Nigmara Hamalacha. So the world was lacking Menufa, and once the Nigmar Malacha, once Malacha was over, then almost like Menufa emerged. It became that part of the Yom, part of the designation of the Yom, and that's really something that's anti our concept of how creation works in the human framework. Look at the Mizrahi. He kind of explains it a little bit. He says, "V'yeh perusho ve'yichal min ha-menucha." Shachar, it should have said, or the Pirush should say, that he stopped from menucha. He stopped from rest. Shachar gomar ma'isa breishis. That after he finished breishis, the hashta afilim timtzalomar b'yom ha-shvi shvi imamish. Even if you want to say it shvi itself, akati lo kasha. It's not a kasha. The menucha, the achar gomar ma'isa breishis, afapishi machlala malachos. So menucha was one of the malachos, sharei olam hayachaser mimena, the world needed it, v'nigmara kemosha hayachaser mishar malachos, v'lachin amru v'yachal alokim bayom hashvi malachto asher asa, eno ela derech havara. It happened passively. It's like God stopped work, and then it's like menucha wasn't created through an active toil, but it happened passively, and it emerged passively. D'ilo tema hachi kashu kraya adadi, k'siv v'yachal alokim bayom hashvi malachto, alma v'shvi asak v'malacha, so he's trying to resolve the contradiction of whether God worked or not. And he's saying that he partially worked, not gemar malacha, because the idea and the concept of menucha emerging was natural. It was passive. It wasn't the same as his malacha with regard to the rest of Bereishis. So the purpose of this, why am I bringing this in? Because the idea of Shabbos itself is an aberration from what we think or how we perceive Bereishis, how we perceive creation. We perceive creation as not occurring passively, but occurring through toil, occurring through work. And the whole concept of Shabbos is miraculous in itself. It's something that goes against our human concept of what or how it should work naturally. And not only that, but it's saying, I think it's like an os before, it's telling you that when you experience Shabbos and you learn about Shabbos, because part of experiencing Shabbos is to give you time to learn about Maisei Hashem and Maisei Bereishis. So you also, you're a mamon, you become a mamon, because you realize that this man could not have created this. This is unnatural. This is abnormal. And only Hashem could have created the world for this to exist. So in a certain sense, it encompasses os, the second os, the second idea of os, that it's the os concept that it's miraculous, that Shabbos is a miracle. It's not something that we perceive as being natural. It's something unnatural. It's creation that emerges from refrainment from work, which is totally against the human concept of creation. And not only that, but it should be a mamon. It should create a muna within you that God was the creator. It shouldn't just be a mitzvah that you do, but it should be a mitzvah that impacts you, that when you study Shabbos, when you learn about Shabbos, when you experience Shabbos, it should create an emuna, much like any other nace created an emuna in Klal Yisrael, much like the os of Moshe created an emuna that he was a Navi, much like the osos of Mitzrayim created an emuna that Hashem was the Adon of the world. So too, the os of Shabbos is such that it's miraculous. When we realize the miraculous nature of Shabbos and we experience it, it should create an emuna within us that Hashem was the creator of the universe. So you see from, I think, the way that the Torah uses the term os, that they're expressed in both ways with regard to Shabbos. So let me go back to the beginning just quickly.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
The last part, but isn't that Oz a universal Shabbos? Shabbos, if it's stemming to Maaseh Bereishis, what does it have to do with Klal Yisrael?
What do you, well, why, you mean, why is only Klal Yisrael, why?
How is Shabbos stand for a unique sort of identifier in Oz when you're pointing to Maaseh Bereishis? What does that have to do with unique, you know, identifier of Klal Yisrael, whatever tentative definition
you're
using?
That's the first Oz. The first Oz. So go back to the beginning. So there's two Osos in Shabbos, right? So that's now I want to just, yeah, so I hear your question. The first Os is V'ata deber al bnei Yisrael lemor achas shab susai tishmeru ki osi b'ni o b'neichem edor seichem ladas ki ani Hashem kadishchem. The first Os in number one is the Os of Kain, the Os of Tefillin, the Os of Mila. It's the concept that we're unique. And how are we unique on Shabbos? How are we a different Gavra on Shabbos? Neshama Yisera. That's the Os of Shabbos. The second Os is the idea of miracle slash emuna. Look at number three. The second idea of Os isn't that we're a new Gavra on Shabbos. The second idea of Os is that when you experience Shabbos, the mitzvah of experiencing Shabbos is such that you should recognize the miraculous nature of Shabbos, and it should create an emuna within you that God is the Borei Olam. And that's the idea of Os. It's similar to the Os of the miracles that occurred in Mitzrayim, the Os that Moshe used. All of that fits into that second idea of Os. Does that answer your question, or?
I think so.
Okay. No. So, what's your question? So, yeah, what's missing?
I mean, I guess just the unification. I guess it ultimately comes down to unifying the two concepts of Os. How they're, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm just, I hear that question. I don't know. It's very difficult for me to unify it. I mean, I think. Yeah, sure.
If I may, isn't it the idea that this idea of, which is really universal in Maaseh Bereishis, that this was given over to Bnei Yisrael, so to speak, as a matana, and for them to be the shomer of this idea?
Yes, agreed. Yes, I agree with that. For sure.
It's not intrinsic to Klal Yisrael, that second idea, but it's something that was given over to them.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Perfect. Yeah, exactly. It was something that was given over to them to function as an Os, to function as create, not only recognizing the miraculous nature of Shabbos, but also being a mamin that Hashem was the creator. So that was a matana that was given to Klal Yisrael, not given to the other nations. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yerov Ginsburg, I saw this idea of shvisa slash menucha being something that you wouldn't think of as natural.
Yeah,
I would think that it is because right when you have a cessation of malacha, that points to the fact that you've completed it. Now there's a perfection in what you did. It's reached its limit. There's no need to go further. So it does, at least to the human mind, it reflects the fact that I no longer need to do anything because I have the thing that I've made.
Yeah, but menucha is a positive. It seems like it's not just the absence of malacha. It's like a positive, at least it seems like it's a positive experience that occurs. And that emerged, a positive emerging from the absence of malacha is a little counterintuitive. If it was just, yeah, the absence of malacha, then I would understand. But it seems like menucha is a positive experience. I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions at all? I just wanted to, any other questions? So what does it have to do with, I just wanted to end the shiur with, what's the relationship to the yahrzeit of my daughter? Why was I thinking of this idea? I don't know for sure why I was thinking of this idea, but it was been bothering me for many, many years. I was thinking about it the last couple of weeks, trying to figure out, you know, what the idea is, what the concept is. And then I was thinking about the experience that Tamar and I went through with our daughter. And I was thinking that the concept of Os is really applicable to what we went through, because when a child dies, you know, it changes you. You're not the same person that you once were. It's not something that's abstract. It's like an Os. It's like the Os of Kain. Like it changes who you are, and not necessarily for the worse. Whenever somebody close to you dies, but especially if a child dies, it changes who you are. It becomes an Os for who you are, and it makes you into a different person, or you have an opportunity to become a different person, not necessarily in the negative, but also in the positive, because you learn more about yourself, you learn about insights about yourself. So in a certain sense, it was an Os for us. And there's also an Os there as well in terms of how you view illness and how you view sickness. And I remember I had a professor in graduate school right after she was diagnosed. And the professor asked me, does this shake your belief in Hashem? Does this shake, not Hashem, because he was non-Jew. He said, does this shake your belief in God? And I remember saying back to him, no, not at all. Because I remember saying that with the diagnosis that she had, if you realize what it was, she was just missing one enzyme. And the fact that if you miss one enzyme in your body and your genetic code is off by the slightest bit, that your whole entire life is so fragile and could be destroyed. If anything, it's a reflection of what needs to go right and how many billions of things need to go right in order for us to exist, in order for us to live in this world. So it's the opposite. It's a proof. It's a mamon. It creates a mamon that Hashem exists. So you have to kind of separate. Of course, it's sad and it was really upsetting and depressing for many, many years. But on the other hand, one of the osos of what occurred was that it created more of a recognition that God is the creator of the universe, and the fact that you see, you know, the frailty of life firsthand, and you see how if you're just missing one thing, one little enzyme, one piece of code is off, almost like computer code, but if one piece of genetic code is off, and then your whole life is destroyed, you know, your whole life is subject to death. And that's just like, I think it's a really deep idea. And I think that's why I was thinking about these concepts as it relates to Shabbos. I don't know what came first or what came second, but I think that they tie into one another, that Shabbos functions as an os in that it changes who you are. You should be a different person on Shabbos. And not only does it change who you are, but it should be viewed as miraculous, and it should be viewed as something that creates emunah within you that Hashem is the creator. And so too, what happened with us, it was the same thing. It was an os on us. It created us, or created new people, a certain newness within us. It gave us an opportunity on a positive, and it also gave us more emunah in a certain sense. And because you recognize the frailty of life and how everything has to work so perfectly together in order for life to exist. And it's the opposite of what that professor and the way they thought about it. And I think of that as reflecting how we're supposed to think of Shabbos. So that's how I wanted to end this year. Is there any questions, any other questions at all? All right. All right. So just wanted to thank everybody for joining me for the share. Really appreciate it. And I hope you enjoyed the idea and the concepts, and have a great day, everybody. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.